हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः मोक्षसन्न्यासयोगो नाम अष्टादशोऽध्यायः As I said, the 18th chapter happens to be the Upasamhara Adhyayaha, the chapter of conclusion. Again, the entire teaching presented in the rest of the chapters is given in a nutshell in this chapter also. This I have to remind you again. Okay. 32nd verse. Okay. So Bhagavan first discussed Sattviki Buddhi, Rajasi Buddhi, discussed in the two verses. What is Tamasi Buddhi? We have to see that also here. Let me read from verse number 30. Pravruttincha Nivruttincha Karya Karye Bhaya Bhaye Bandham Mokshan Chaya Veti Buddhissa Partha Sattviki Yaya Dharma Madharmancha Karyancha Karyamevacha Ayathavat Prajanati Buddhissa Partha Rajasi Adharmam, adharmam dharmamitiya manyate tamasavrita sarvarthan viparitamscha buddhissa partha tamasi. So in these three verses, 30th, 31st and 32nd, Bhagavan discusses the three types of buddhi, sattviki buddhi, rajasi buddhi and tamasi buddhi. The discussion itself is for us to understand that whether our buddhi is sattviki buddhi, rajasi buddhi or tamasi buddhi. If our self-analysis, it will be very helpful, isn't it? If you understand what is sattviki buddhi, what is rajasi buddhi, tamasi buddhi, we can make out then which is our buddhi, which buddhi we have. So we can try to, if our buddhi, suppose if the buddhi which we have, it has tamasi buddhi, rajasi buddhi, then we must try to convert it into a sattviki buddhi. That is the idea. The discussion is for that. Sattviki buddhi is possible only if a person lives a life of karma yoga. Otherwise, it is not possible. That is main teaching. How can we convert the Rajasi Buddhi, Tamasi Buddhi into a Sattviki Buddhi? Only by consciously living a life of Dharma, consciously living a life of Karma Yoga with the proper attitude. Okay. So again, the Buddhi is not simply, we don't take it as intellect alone. It's a will, Sattvic will. Sattviki buddhi implies sattvic will. What is sattviki buddhi? What is sattvic will? Which you saw in the 30th verse. Pravruttim cha nivruttim cha Karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham chaya veti buddhissa partha sattviki. So in this verse Bhagavan says, hey partha, hey Arjuna, sattviki buddhi means sattvic intellect. Sattvic intellect implies sattvic will also. Is that buddhi? Ya veti. The buddhi, the intellect which knows. பிரவருத்திம் நிவருத்திம் ச. இது இன்டெலக்ட் நோஸ். பிரவருத்தி மீன்ஸ் ஆக்ஷன், நிவருத்தி மீன்ஸ் நான் ஆக்ஷன், ரிஃப்ரைனிங் ஃப்ரம் தி ஆக்ஷன், தட் இஸ் ரியனன்சியேஷன். பிரவருத்தி நிவருத்தி, தி இன்டெலக்ட் விச் இஸ் விச் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் விச் நோஸ் தி ஆக்ஷன் அண்ட் ரெனன்சியேஷன் விச் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் ஆல்சோ காரிய அகாரியே. The action in the prescribed duty and renunciation, refraining from prohibited action. Akaryam is prohibited action, karyam is prescribed duty. So that which is to be done choicelessly is karyam, that which should not be done is akaryam. So prohibited is akaryam, prescribed is karyam. So the intellect which knows the action in the prescribed, which knows refraining from the prohibited, and also bhaya abhaye, which knows the prescribed duty, the prohibited action, bhaya abhaye, which knows the which knows what that which is source of fear and which knows the source of fearlessness. Bhaya abhaye. See, karya karya dual. Bhaya abhaye also dual. Dual word. Bhayam, it knows bhayam, it knows bhayam, abhayam also. It, so the sattvic intellect is that which knows the fear, the source of the fear, which knows the source of fearlessness also. And bandham moksham cha. Sattvic intellect is that which understands bandham, bondage, as well as liberation. The intellect which is capable of understanding action, renunciation, the prescribed duty, the prohibited action, the source of fear, the source of fearlessness, and the bondage as well as liberation. Hach buddhi is sattviki buddhi. So, defining sattvic intellect in this, Bhagavan is going to discuss rajasic and tamasic intellects in the following verses which we saw, which we read the verses just now. See, buddhi is very, very important. It is the buddhi which distinguishes a human being from other animals. So buddhi is kept on a very high pedestal in our shastram. Kept on a very high pedestal in our shastra means what? Buddhi alone draws importance. Because one's buddhi must be very clear. There must be clarity of understanding. First of all, the ultimate purpose of living this life must be very clear. Purushartha nischayaha. The definiteness about the ultimate goal of this life must be very clear. And where is it? That implies sattvika buddhi. The person's buddhi is sattvika buddhi. Then definitely there'll be confusion-free, definite understanding of the ultimate purpose of living this life. So the ultimate goal will be very clear. Priority will be very clear. Well, if priority is very clear, then one's choice of actions also will be according to one's clarity regarding one's goal of life, priority. Then in the context, if a person has a very clear understanding of the purpose of life, then in the context you have very clear understanding of the importance of knowledge. The person has a clear understanding of the importance of knowledge. The person will have a clear understanding of the importance and necessity of having mental preparation required for that knowledge. And the person is very clear, no doubt at all for this person, that unless and until one has a pure and steady mind, it is not possible for to attain one jnana. If this is very clear for him, in that context, he'll also understand, unless and until a person lives a life of karma yoga governed by dharma, there's no way of attaining mental purification, mental steadiness. This is the qualification required for the attainment of jnana, without which jnana ultimate goal cannot be accomplished. And once the person knows the importance of living a life of karma yoga, then the person will be committed to live a life of dharma, knowing the value of dharma. Even to know the value of dharma, not simply knowing the values. Knowing the value of values also implies what? Having a clear intellect. So a person of clear intellect is the person of sattvic intellect. Then the commitment is there, then he will be able to live strictly a life of karma yoga governed by dharma. For such a person, it be possible to accomplish things in life. So at every stage, he knows what his priority is and what is he living this life for. There's no confusion. And for such a person, it is very easy for such a person to, because of clarity of understanding, it is possible for him to know the significance of worship, efficacy of prayer, and he will know what is prayer for, why worship is, naturally, and he'll be wholeheartedly doing in anything, because he'll be very focused in anything and everything he's doing. Therefore, it is possible for him to be proficient and efficient in anything he does. Thereby, he can be relaxed in what he is doing. At the same time, he'll be expert in what he can do things also perfectly, because he's relaxed. He's anxious, anxiety free minded. Now he can also do things perfectly. So the possibility of doing anything perfectly is dependent on one's being free from anxiety. This person has no anxiety because he's worshipful, he's prayerful. He knows what he is doing, what his priorities are. Therefore, there's no anxiety because of his proper attitude. So sattviki buddhi, such a mind. So that's why it is said in this verse, this person knows, the person of sattvic intellect must be able to know what is action performed for, what is renunciation, and what is the action which should be done choicelessly, what is karyam prescribed. He knows what should be prohibited, akaryam. This person knows definitely what is the source of fear. So what is the source of fearlessness? So what is bondage and what is moksha? All that the person has clear understanding. That understanding is possible because of, if the person is capable of understanding, then his intellect is sattvic intellect. This person knows the limitation of karma. He knows the value of knowledge. What karma can do, what karma phalam can do, what karma phalam cannot do, what jnanam can do, what is jnanam for. So he understands. Okay, that is sattvic intellect. Next word. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanati buddhissa partha rajasi. Okay. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayathavat prajanati buddhissa partha rajasi. What is that rajasic intellect? He said, hey Partha, Ya buddhihi, I'm adding the sentence Ya buddhike, or Yaya buddhya, dharmam adharmam cha, karyam cha akaryam eva cha, ayathavat prajanati, sa buddhihi, rajasi buddhihi. He says, the rajasic buddhi is that. Sa buddhihi ajasi buddhihi. Rajasic, the rajasic buddhi is that. Yaya, by which ayathavat prajanati. See, yathavat means correctly understands. Ayathavat means incorrectly understands. If a person's intellect is unclear, rajasic intellect, rajasi buddhihi, of course, then he will be confused. Naturally, his understanding will be wrong, incorrect, erroneous understanding. So, yathavat means exactly correct as it is. Ayathavat means incorrectly, wrongly, erroneously. Ayathavat prajanati. So, the rajasic intellect is that by which a person has a person understands incorrectly, wrongly, erroneously what dharmam cha adharmam cha. So, dharmaha should be taken as what is right. The person who incorrectly understands what is right, who the person who understands incorrectly what is wrong, what is right, what is wrong. He understands incorrectly, wrongly. Then what should be done, what should be prohibited, what should be choicelessly done, karyam kim, there also he has incorrect understanding of what should be done. His incorrect understanding of what should not be done, what should be prohibited. So the person of incorrect understanding has rajasic buddhi. Or you can say rajasic buddhi is that by which a person incorrectly understands, wrongly understands the right, what is right, wrongly understands what is wrong. And he wrongly understands what is to be done, prescribed duty, and what is the prohibited, avoided, to be avoided action. See, the person who is predominantly rajasic intellectually, the person who is predominantly rajasic mentally, of course, mentally only rajasic, naturally, that person will be always a person of doubts. Many, many doubts will be there. Where there is rajas, if rajas is, clarity is not possible. If there's no clarity, then there'll be doubts. Clear understanding, doubtful understanding. What is the difference? this, my intellect is sattvic, there will be clear understanding. If the intellect is not sattvic, if it is rajasic, there won't be clear understanding, naturally there will be doubtful understanding. So many doubts. Doubts about what? Everything. There's doubt about even this person, even if he has a purushartha nischaya also. This person does not know what is the means to accomplish the end. Even if he knows it is the means, but there'll be always doubts. So having a doubtful knowledge is as good as the wrong knowledge. Incorrect understanding only. Therefore, in terms of dharma, what is right, there is no clarity. In terms of what is adharma, what is wrong, there is no clarity. There's confusion, there's error, erroneous understanding. In terms of what should be, what is the prescribed to be done action, there is doubt. In terms of what should not be done, what should be prohibited, there is also doubt. It's all because of lack of clarity, and the lack of clarity implies what? Having a rajasic mind. The person may have an end, but still there's no clarity regarding everything. So here, he does not know what is right and what is wrong. The person of rajasic intellect is not clear about his what is dharma, what is adharma. So he does not know what is dharma, does not know what is adharma means. He has doubt. He is doubtful about what is dharma, what is adharma means. What it implies, he does not know. What is dharma? Living a life, doing activities, doing things, doing the needful, which will contribute for one's spiritual progress. If a person lives his lifestyle, performing what is to be done, and the lifestyle which contributes for one's spiritual progress is, then we can say the person knows what is right. Because living a life of dharma is important thing, that's the only way one can convert one's gross raw mind into a subtle refined mind, and only without which attainment of knowledge is possible, moksha is not at all possible. So dharma anushtanam is a stepping stone to accomplish moksha in terms of jnana. So adharma, a person does not know adharma means, adharma being given to adharma means following a lifestyle, living one's life in such a way that one is taken away from one's spiritual progress. One's lifestyle itself becomes a big obstacle for one's, if a person's lifestyle becomes an obstacle for one's spiritual progress, then that person's lifestyle is what? Actually, adharmic life. So, being given to a non-righteous adharmic life may help one accomplish artha kamas in life. See, sometimes people think, so what? By living a life of adharma, it is possible for me to accomplish artha kamas. Abundance of wealth, etc. I'm able to earn. I'm able to enjoy pleasures. Yes, it may be possible. Arthakamas, adharmic person may be able to accomplish arthakama, may be successful in pursuing arthakamas. At the same time, the person will be spiritually completely ruined, that it's impossible for him to come somewhere near. there won't be any spiritual progress at all. Not possible. Spiritual accomplishment will be impossible for such a person. So what should be done, what should not be done must be very clear. Only then one can do what should be done. One can refrain from what should not be done. So that it will be possible for one to live his life in conformity with dharma. Only by doing what is to be done, only by refraining from what should not be done, one can live a life of dharma, one can live one's life without transgressing the values. So one has to, whether a person likes it or not, still he must do what is to be done, what is right. Whether he likes it or not, still he should not do what is wrong. So, you making use of one's own common sense, what is right and what is wrong. So one must be able to do one's activities. It is possible only if a person has clear understanding. Whereas, if the person is a person of rajasic intellect, then naturally he will be doubtful. He has doubts because he can't have clear understanding. Therefore, he understands everything wrongly. Ayathavat prajanati. That way, what happens? His spiritual progress will be, they'll be stagnant. He'll be stagnant in his spiritual progress. He won't be able to progress. Okay. Next, we'll see this today's class, I think. Many people have understanding. No, you have to meditate. Even Nandaji used to tell you before. Many people, they're all well-meaning people, good people, well-meaning people, and they want to be spiritually accomplishing, but they think we don't need to study Shastram. Let me, this important lesson, I had to tell you this. We don't need bookish knowledge. I don't know how many of you are listening to me. We don't need bookish knowledge. So we don't need to study Shastram. What do we need Shastram for? All that we need is, we need to meditate. Meditation is enough. Many people must be in our class also, I think. Shastra study is not important. It's the studying Upanishads is all intellectual exercise. And it is not necessary. We need to only meditate. Meditation is the only way. Meditation is the only, just simply practice meditation. Meditate, practice meditation. They don't believe in performing ritual. They don't even give importance for worship or prayer. And they may sing some bhajans, but they think meditation is enough. Meditation is enough. Some people think seva, service is enough. Some people think, no, Madhava seva, Mahesha seva. Manishya seva, Mahesha seva. See, seva is important. I'm not saying no. Some people are very much given to this belief. I don't want to worship. I don't want to pray. I don't want to study Shastram. As long as I'm doing some service to society and people, it's good. Serving is good. But that is not going to remove your ignorance. So some people are very strongly given to this idea. Service is enough. It's a good thing to do service. But what is service for? They are not very clear. Doubt. Not that they don't doubt. They think they know also. That's the problem. They don't think that they're doubtful. And some people are of the view, meditation is the only way. Meditation is enough. We don't need to study Shastra. It's all intellectual exercise. We don't need to study Shastra. So meditation is the only means. And we say meditation is a manasam karma. Meditation is something to be practiced before the attainment of jnanam for mental refinement, mental steadiness. Meditation need to be practiced after the attainment of jnanam for assimilation of knowledge. Meditation will not remove ignorance. Meditation is not the means of attainment of jnanam. Shravanam is the only means of attainment of jnanam. And jnanam is what is needed here. So it's all confusion. And some people think, okay, go to pranayama. Do that kriya yoga. Do this kriya yoga. Or do kundalini yoga. I'm not saying all these disciplines you study with proper teachers so that it may help. But they're all those disciplines are only meant for mental preparation. And even those disciplines which are meant for mental preparation also must be practiced with the help of the proper teacher. One should not independently practice things. Then you will not know how to bring down the kundalini if you raise it. And people go mad and the mental problems they develop. Sickly said. In fact, young family people are not at all recommended to practice meditation. Listen, understand, see, live your life consciously. Do your japam consciously. Even if you do one shloka, you say that, see that you are focused, you are saying it with focused attention. That is enough. That is a big challenge now. People chant, do so much of chant, but mind goes all over. So, what is it for? What is meditation for? What is the limitation of it? What it can do, what it cannot do, etc. We need a clear understanding. If the buddhi is rajasic, then there won't be clarity. There'll be confusion. There'll be incorrect understanding also. They understand wrong means for their right end sometimes. This is all because of the doubts. Because of such a buddhi is said to be rajasic buddhi, rajasi buddhi. Okay. It means they're predominantly rajasic in nature. So unclear knowledge, doubtful knowledge, incorrect knowledge, or half-baked understanding is always because of rajasi buddhi. Adharmam dharmamitiya manyate tamasavruta sarvarthan viparitamscha buddhisapartatamasi. Adharmam dharmamitiya manyate tamasavruta sarvarthan viparitamscha buddhissa partha tamasi. So here, it is not an incorrect understanding. Here completely, let us see here. Bhagavan again tells, hey partha Arjuna, tamasi buddhihi, tamasic intellect. Is that sa buddhihi tamasi, sa buddhihi tamasi. That buddhi is tamasic buddhi. That intellect is tamasic intellect. Ya avruta. The intellect which is avruta means covered, veiled. The intellect which is covered, veiled by tamas. Tamasa avruta buddhihi. Ya buddhihi tamasa avruta sa tamasi buddhihi. That intellect which is veiled by tamas is tamasi buddhihi. When the intellect is veiled by tamas, covered by tamas, when predominantly tamasic intellect is veiled by tamas, it's covered by tamas, means when tamas covers, what happens? There is a thinking also is what? Ya buddhihi manyate. The intellect not which is covered by tamas, thereby which thinks, manyate means things, which thinks adharmam dharmamiti. as the intellect is covered by tamas, and the intellect thinks dharmam adharma, adharmam dharmam iti. It considers, it regards adharma as dharma. It considers the wrong as right. And sarvarthan viparithan manyate. Not only that, the tamasic intellect is that which considers, which sees is implied, okay? Which sees everything. Sarvartha means everything viparitan. It sees everything to be perverted. It sees everything perversely. Viparitan pashyati. Viparitan is understood. It sees everything to be perverted, everything perversely. Differently. So mistakes adharma to be dharma. It sees everything differently because intellect is covered by tamas. So ya buddhihi tamasa avrata. Ya buddhihi adharmam dharmam iti manyate. It considers, it regards adharma as dharma. And that way, that which views everything perversely is what tamasic intellect. So, where tamas is predominant, the intellect, which is predominantly tamasic, naturally has no doubt. See, doubt is possible only if some understanding at least is there. Here, no doubt. Why? Because even though the person of tamasic intellect does not know anything, but he thinks he knows. The person of tamasic intellect is the one who thinks he knows. Even though he does not know, he thinks he knows. Which means the tamasic intellect is that which appears to be a wise intellect, appears to be the intellect of a wise, intellect of wisdom. Suppose if the tamas is predominant, naturally, doubt will not be there because there's a very strong understanding that they know. Even if they do not know, they think they know. This is the worst problem. And because when a person not knowing and thinks he knows, naturally, whatever decision the person makes, all his conclusions, decisions based on his ignorance, based on his wrong thinking that he knows even if he does not know, naturally wrong conclusions. The conclusions are wrong, decisions become wrong because those decisions and conclusions are based on his wrong understanding that he, even not knowing also, he thinks he knows. And this incorrect understanding, a wrong understanding, or mistaking the wrong to be right is called what? Viparita jnanam. Viparita jnanam. Viparita jnanam means what? Mistaking the wrong to be right. Viparita jnanam. And if the, because There's no way of making the person understand that his understanding is wrong also. It is not possible for another person to make the person understand that his understanding is wrong, because his intellect is covered by tamas. And this is very strong thinking that the person, the thinking that he knows, therefore he does not know, nor can he be corrected by other people. So the person of tamasic intellect does not know, nor can he be corrected by others, because he doesn't accept that he does not know, and he thinks he knows. That's why it said, adharmam dharmam iti ya manyate. What is wrong is taken to be right. You can see, even though Arjuna is supposed to be a very clear-minded person, because Arjuna was always a person of dharma, all five of them, all pancha pandavas are highly dharmic. So they all must be of Rajas, highly sattvic. But still, when the doubt comes, even Arjuna's conclude the very first chapter, when Ratho Upaste Upavishat, Arjuna sat there, leaving Visruji Sasharam Chapam, leaving aside his bow and arrow, and talking all dharma to Krishna. He was giving lecture to Krishna. Bhagavan patiently heard what all Arjuna said in the whole of first chapter and until the beginning of 11th verse of second chapter. Bhagavan was listening to Arjuna. And Arjuna poured out his grief. And where Arjuna was of very strong conclusion. Arjuna was of wrong conclusion. A strong conclusion that it was very, very wrong on his part to involve himself in Mahabharata battle. He forgot for a moment, even though he as a Kshatriya was supposed to be fighting for protecting dharma, in order to fight against the dharma, he thought involving himself in Mahabharata battle was wrong, adharma. This was his belief, this was his strong thinking, this was his conclusion. And Arjuna decided that he was right. So he said he would not fight. And he gave his own reasons, the consequence of involving oneself in the battle. So that's why Bhagavan said, you speak like a wise person, but you still grieve. But wise people do not grieve at all for anything. That is Bhagavan's, the opening, when Bhagavan started speaking, this is the content of the first 11, the 11th verse, second chapter. What I want to understand, the person of tamasic intellect is very firm that his understanding is correct. And he thinks dharma to be adharma, dharma dharma to be dharma. Because the person of tamasic intellect cannot know himself, nor can he be corrected by others. That is the contribution of tamas. Because there is no way of the tamasic person getting his error corrected, because he doesn't accept. There's no way of attaining right understanding at all. Tamasa avrita buddhi. That is why sarvartham viparitamscha. He takes all, everything to be differently. Everything to be, everything perversely this person takes. Therefore, because this person becomes a person of perverted understanding, so there is strong understanding of even artha kamas will be taken as the ultimate goals. Moksha being the goal will not even be known. Even if the person seems to be knowing, then he doesn't give importance for moksha because still in his mind, for artha kamas become the priority. Of course, then jnanam will not have any place. Therefore, the value of dharma cannot be known. Therefore, there is no way of having any spiritual progress at all. Okay. Next, we went into the next topic of Shaktihi. Okay. Dhritihi. We're going to see now three types of Dhritihi. Dhritihi. Dhritihi means fortitude. Dhritihi means resolve. Dhritihi means willpower. Resolve, fortitude, willpower. Dhrityayaya dharayate manav pranendriya kriya. Dhrityayaya dharayate manav pranendriya kriya. Yogena vyabhicharinya dhritissa partha sattviki. Dhrityayaya dharayate manav pranendriya kriya. Yogena vyabhicharinya dhritissa partha sattviki. Dhrityayaya dharayate manav pranendriya kriya. Yogena vyabhicharinya dhritissa partha sattviki. Dhrityayaya dharayate manav pranendriya kriya. Yogena vyabhicharinya dhritissa partha sattviki. He partha, again, please understand, buddhihi, dhritihi, all these are strilinga shabdaha. Like buddhi is strilinga shabdaha. It's a feminine gender word. Dhritihi is also a feminine gender word. You can make out these many words in Sanskritam ending with the ti, except patihi. They're all in feminine gender. Okay, they're all feminine gender words. Strilinga shabdaha. Therefore, dhritihi ya sa, that's used. The pronouns used are ya sa. Satviki dhritihi sa. Sa satviki dhritihi. He partha. Sa dhritihi satviki. Sa dhritihi satviki means what? That is satvik resolution. Sorry, sattvic fortitude, sattvic will, that dhritihi, that is sattvic resolve, that is sattvic will, yaya, by which yayadhritya, by which will alone, by which will avyabhicharinya, avyabhicharinya yogena. Avyabhicharini, avyabhicharini, avyabhicharinya. So that the will, that will which is unswerving, avyabhicharinya dhritya, that is sattvic will, sattvic resolve, by which unswerving will. First of all, sattvic will is unswerving will, avyabhicharini dhritihi. And by such unswerving will, yogena dharayate, dharayate, one sustains through yoga, dharayate, one sustains through yoga. What one sustains? Manaha prana indriya kriyaha. So sattvic will is that which is an unswerving will, by which unswerving will one sustains dharayate, one holds, one sustains one's manaha prana indriya kriyaha. One sustains mind, pranas, indriya kriya, manaha prana indriya kriyaha. Kriyaha means the functions. One sustains the functions or activities of the mind, prana and sense organs. See, mind is involved in functions, their pranic functions, physiological functions, then functions of sense organs. So one sustains the functions, the activities of mind, prana and the sense organs through yoga. So sattvic will is that which is unswerving will, and by such an unswerving, that unswerving will, by that, through yoga, one sustains the activities of the mind, prana and the sense organs. This is the literal meaning of this verse. So, what Bhagwan makes it very clear in this, that even though it's very, very important for one to have sattvic buddhi, sattviki buddhihi, one must have sattvic intellect, that one must have clarity of thinking, but it is not enough. It is not enough if a person's intellect is sattvic intellect. Thereby a person is of clear understanding, it is not enough. Which means, even if a person has a clear understanding, and in order to act in keeping his clear understanding, one also needs a very firm, unswerving, strong will. Suppose even if a person knows very clearly, a person knows moksha is the ultimate goal. Jnanam is the only means of attaining moksha. So to attain jnanam, I must study shastra. Shastra is the only pramanam. And even to enjoy the benefit of jnanam, I must have pure mental steady, mental preparedness. So I have clear understanding. Even if a person has a clear understanding, without clear understanding, nothing can be done. So even if a person has a very clear understanding, because he is a person of sattvic buddhi, sattvic intellect. So it's a clear sattvic intellect. The person of sattvic intellect has clear intellect. Still, in order to accomplish, in order to do things to, in keeping a clear understanding, one also needs a very strong, unswerving will. So will is, please understand, Shastra, in Shastram, will, how intellect is given high, great importance. So also will also is said to be an important faculty. Will is very, very important. Dhritihi is very important. Because clear understanding is there. If a person has to function, work, act in keeping with one's clear understanding, one also needs a strong will. Therefore, Bhagavan takes up this topic of will, willpower here. And who has a will? Only Manushyaha. Human being alone is blessed with this faculty of choice known as willpower. The capacity to choose to do a given action. To do, not to do, or to do it differently. This capacity, you know, to, this is called what? Willpower, faculty of choice. Only human being has this. So, willpower is given means what? You are blessed with the capacity to choose to do a given action means you must make use of that willpower. You must make use of that capacity. This is what is willpower. Which means you animals do not have such capacity. So animals cannot make use of it because they do not have it. There's no such thing called exercising one's willpower on the part of animals because they don't have willpower. Human beings are fortunate that they're blessed with this willpower. They're blessed with the capacity to choose to do a given action or not to do a given action, to do a given action differently also. They have to make the best use of their willpower. They must exercise their willpower. But unfortunately, people do not know, not all the people, lot of people do not know that they are blessed with the willpower. They use the willpower whenever they need, but still they do not understand that they are blessed with the willpower. And they must make other willpower also. They do not know. Instead, they think, they have a wrong thinking, that whatever happens in life, everything is, okay, the whole life, what is going to come in life is already predestined. Everything is already predestined. So what? Everything is already predestined. By predestined means what? Already preordained by destiny. Everything in my life is already preordained, predetermined by destiny. Predestined. So, whatever is happening in life is in keeping with whatever Brahmaji has written on my head. So, I need not do any efforts. My efforts are not at all required. Even if I make efforts, things are going to happen only according to what is already preordained. So, when people do not know that how fortunate they are, that they have been blessed with the willpower, and they must exercise that willpower, they must make the best use of the willpower. Unless they know, then they will become fatalists. Only people who think that they don't have any willpower, who do not understand that there's a willpower, and a mistake that everything in life is already predestined, nothing can be changed. Therefore, everything, they leave everything to fate. Everything they take as destiny. Therefore, what? They become people of destiny and the people of the fatalists. Therefore, please understand, it is very, very important. We should not take it, we cannot take everything is fate. No. Even though fate is there, still how we should take it here, said. Bhagavan Krishna specifically talks about here, discusses this topic of willpower specifically in order to help us understand that we should not take everything as fate. Everything is determined by fate. What is fate? What is destiny? Fate is destiny. Destiny is fate. What is destiny? What is fate? See, whatever parabdha karma phalam we have in our account, whatever parabdha karma phalam we have in our account, which a small portion of sanchitam, which is ready for fructification, and because which alone determined our birth, and that parabdha karma phalam, which has to be exhausted in this life. Nobody can escape the parabdha karma phalam. What is parabdha karma phalam? The portion of sanchita karma phalam, which is ready for fructification, is parabdha karma phalam. So parabdha karma phalam means the results of unexhausted results of actions of previous lives and past actions, and the results which are ready for fructification, which had to be exhausted in this life. Impossible to escape. So birth itself has been determined by parabdha karma phalam. Of course, death also is determined by parabdha karma phalam. And what we go through in between also is determined by parabdha karma phalam only. Therefore, what? Parabdha karma phalam alone is said to be fate or destiny. So our own, the parabdha karma phalam, which is being exhausted in this present life by us choicelessly, is parabdha karma phalam. That is, that is what is destiny, that is what is said to be fate. Of course, this destiny can influence our future. Destiny, of course, is exhausted in this present life also. But still, I tell you, what our Shastram says is, even though our destiny influences our future, destiny can influence our future, still, it is very clearly said in the Shastram that destiny alone does not influence our future. Destiny does influence our future, but destiny alone does not influence our future. Destiny is not the only thing which influences our future. So destiny or fate is one of the factors which determine our future. We many people think destiny is the only thing which influences our future. No, of course, destiny does influence our future, but destiny is not the only thing which influences our future. Destiny is one of the few factors which determine which influence our future. Which means there are many things, many other factors which also influence our future. Okay, and one of the what is another important factor, the powerful factor which can influence our future? Willpower. Dhritihi. Our dhritihi, our willpower is said to be the most powerful factor, most powerful of all the factors in influencing our future. Please listen carefully, it's an important lesson. Dhritihi, the willpower is the most powerful factor, most powerful of all the factors which influence, which determine our future. Therefore, Shastram prescribes many other karmas also. It is with this willpower, the capacity to choose to do a given karma. I'm repeating this word. The willpower, it is with this willpower, with the capacity to choose to do a given action, it is possible for us to do prayaschitta karma. Prayaschitta karma, the karma performed for neutralizing unknowingly done papa karmas. And it is with this willpower we are able to practice any sadhana. It is with this willpower we can, it is with this willpower we can bring about we can bring about a change. That means we can change the course of our destiny. It is with this willpower we can change even the course of the destiny. With this willpower, it is possible for us to do any, practice any sadhana. Oh, I need to attain jnanam, I need to attain moksha, I can use my willpower to become committed to the pursuit of jnanam. I can make my willpower to commit to the commitment, to commit myself to the pursuit of study of the shastra. I can make use of this willpower to prepare my mind for attainment of jnanam. I can make use of my willpower to live a life of karma yoga. I can make use of my willpower to practice all religious disciplines for mental steadiness. So it is the willpower, it is the dhritihi, which we can make use of. Practice any sadhana. So Shastram says, I tell you, it is this willpower, making use of which we can even change the course of the destiny. We cannot undo the destiny totally. We can change the course of the destiny, change course of the fate. Okay, therefore, but consciously, if we have to live a life of dharma, we have to make use of this willpower. So with the help of the willpower, we can choose to do the right action, refrain from the wrong action, so that our desires can be managed, our emotions can be managed. In the long run, we can become mentally prepared for the, we can become mentally pure and steady. That way we can attain, we'll become qualified for the attainment of jnanam. Once we attain jnanam, I tell you, then you can resolve all sanchita agami karmas. This is how we can change the course of the destiny. If we take everything as fate and we don't make use of our willpower, if you abuse the willpower or don't make use of the willpower, they will continue to be the victims of our destiny. There's no way of changing the course of the destiny. So willpower has to be, can be made use of, made use, can be used to change the course of the destiny. And second thing, our destiny or fate is not the same always. It is not in uniform condition. The sense, it's always, there's a gradation. It means destiny is graded. Why it is graded? Because the destiny or fate involves what? Is based whatever is destined, whatever destiny decides, is based on our own karma. Therefore, it's always graded. And when we perform karma, our motive behind our action, intention behind the action, intensity of the action, it's all different. In keeping with the difference in motive, purpose, intensity, etc., so the destiny also becomes graded. Therefore, willpower, this destiny also is of different intensity. As destiny is of different intensity, only by making the best use of the willpower, only by making the best use of the willpower, it will be possible for us to change the course of destiny. It's possible for us to change the course of life ordained destiny. Therefore, please understand, Vedanta Shastra student, definitely must be the one who accepts the willpower, who has belief in willpower. Suppose if we say somebody is a Vedanta student, Vedanta means what? The basic qualification of Vedanta student is what? First of all, the Vedantic student, especially when he is given to study of Bhagavad Gita, definitely that person has strong belief in willpower. Suppose, imagine, you know, I study Bhagavad Gita, but I take everything as, you know, I'm a fatalist. I don't believe in this willpower. If a person says, then I tell you, the study of Bhagavad Gita will be a waste of effort. If a person does not accept the strength of this, the willpower, if there are many people who argue, even people who study, the so-called people who are given study of the Shastram, they themselves have a confusion about this. Many people say, where is will? There's no free will. Many people, I tell the many, please understand, you go against Shastram. If you do not accept free will, Shastra study will not make any sense for you. So definitely, a person who has Shraddha in Shastram, who accepts Shastram as the Pramanam, that is Shastram, definitely must have the belief in free will. Only then study of the Shastram will be a meaningful action. Especially study of Bhagavad Gita will be a meaningful action. Even the choice of one's ultimate goal being moksha is possible only if a person accepts free will. So if a person is highly brilliant, extremely extraordinary intelligent, then, okay, so what? So, the person chooses, okay, moksha is the ultimate goal of life. Happiness is, I know, happiness is the implied meaning of the word moksha. So, discovering moksha happiness is the ultimate goal of life. Actually, discovering freedom from unhappiness is discovery of happiness. Discovery of happiness means what? Discovering happiness, obtaining as one's own sarupam, is actually for us to become independent of the world for our happiness and security. If you discover happiness as our own sarupam, naturally, then you will not be dependent on the world for your happiness anymore. This not being dependent on the world for your happiness is freedom from emotional dependence. So freedom from emotional dependence, freedom from unhappiness is equal to freedom from emotional dependence. So when, as long as you are ignorant of your sarupam being happiness and fullness, ignorantly, innocently, helplessly, choicelessly, we become dependent on all external factors for our happiness and security, which is dependent, being dependent on anything and everything other than one's own sarupam, one's own self or happiness is emotional dependence. And this freedom from emotional dependence is, so discovery of happiness is equal to discovery of freedom from unhappiness is this being free from emotional dependence upon the external world for one's happiness. So freedom from emotional dependence is freedom from unhappiness, which is moksha. This is the absolute end. This is the ultimate choiceless goal of every human being. And this goal needs to be accomplished because a choiceless end, moksha is a choiceless end. Therefore, knowledge of this, and there's no way of discovering happiness unless and until I discover the truth obtaining as my own self. Therefore, discovery of one's own self is atmajnan, self-knowledge. And the self-knowledge is the only means of discovering happiness, which is discovery of freedom from emotional dependence. And here, so knowledge being the only means of discovering moksha, knowledge is what? A choiceless end. Now next is, and for that, for the attainment of that jnanam, if the knowledge has to be attained, no choice. Choicelessly, mind must become adequately prepared. Mind must be adequately pure and steady. So unless and until one has adequate mental preparedness, it's impossible to attain the self-knowledge, which is discovery of self is discovery of happiness. Discovery of happiness is freedom from emotional dependence. Therefore, mental preparedness, one clearly understands mental preparedness, the importance of mental preparedness required for the attainment of jnanam. And for which again what? One has to choicelessly live a life of dharma. Please understand, I don't think I'm wasting my time. Therefore, if a person has to become adequately pure and steady, if a person has to become adequately refined and steady, if a person has to have distraction-free focused, if a person must have distraction-free focused attention, he must be adequately pure, must be free from emotional disturbances, then naturally a person has to choicelessly live a life of dharma. So unless and until you choose to live a life of dharma, live a life of karma yoga, there's no way of preparing your mind. Without mental preparedness, there's no way of attaining jnanam. Without attaining jnanam, there's no way of becoming emotional, freedom, emotionally free. There's no way of becoming free from emotional dependence. Therefore, moksha presupposes what? Even living a life of dharma. And if you have to live a life of dharma, you have to what? You have to make use of your willpower. Okay, there's no way. One must make the best use of one's willpower in order to be able to live a life of dharma. To choose to do the right, to choose to refrain from the wrong also. It is not enough if you choose to do the right. One must be able to strictly refrain from the wrong. One must be able to choose to do the right, irrespective of one's own likes and dislikes. It means one must have strong will. One has to exercise one's will. Therefore, only by exercising one's willpower, by making the best use of one's willpower, a person can accomplish the ultimate goal, moksha. Because making use of one's willpower means one becomes capable of directing one's actions towards one's accomplishment of absolute end, moksha, the spiritual end. Then it's called what? If a person is capable of directing all his actions to prepare his mind towards his spiritual goal, then his willpower is said to be sattvic willpower. So what is sattvic willpower? Now we understand all this. Is it clear? Today I didn't say anything newly. I repeated, definitely. I had to come bring you to the today's class, the verse. This is what sattvic willpower. So Bhagavan says here, being capable of directing all one's actions towards one's spiritual accomplishment of spiritual goal, making is what? Is that being endowed with the sattvic will. So Krishna defines, discusses this sattvic will in this, the 33rd verse. So whatever the mind, the function of thinking, in a thinking, one uses the thinking and the function of sense organs, the pranas, organs of actions, so all this. Karmendriyani, Jnanendriyani, Manaha, Pranaha, all this. All the activities. Whatever activity a person does, all activities contribute for influencing one's mind. So what you eat, what you drink, what you watch, what you play, what you talk, what you think, whom you associate with, you know, even what all you read, what all you listen, what all you hear, what all you discuss, what all you associate, whom all you associate with, all these factors contribute for influencing. One's mind. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Manaha, Pranaha, the activities of the mind, activities of the functions of prana, the activities of the Jnanendriyani, Karmendriyani, all of them. So always, every fraction of second in everything what you are doing, you are conscious of what you are doing, how you are doing, which means you are making use of the willpower. So it is said, sattvic will is that will, the unswerving will, by which unswerving will, through yoga, one sustains, one manages the activities of the mind, prana and sense organs. That will is sattvic will. Dhrityayaya dharayate manah pranendriya kriyah yogena vyabhicharinya dhritissa partha sattviki. Simple lesson. We'll discuss more elaborate next class. How, If we think everything is destiny, if we take it, then you cannot achieve anything in life. Even Artha Kama you can't achieve. Leave alone the moksha jnana. But will must be used consciously so that your actions are governed by dharma. Without making use of the will, there's no way of having our actions governed by dharma. Okay, with the rest of the thing we'll see next class. Okay. Once we complete this 18th chapter, then we can take some topics for discussion for clarity. It'll be more like mananam. Okay. Om Pur பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரிஹி ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம்.